Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Carl. It is Sunday, the 25th, I guess it is today. Yes, we're on at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, West Coast time, of course, noon. And we're going to continue in our Bible study. The particular topic we've been on for a while. And when Raven comes on, I'll have her read it, is the exhortation that we are told in Romans 12:2 and Ephesians 4:23 that we must do in order to accomplish anything for God. Okay, Raven.
Hello.
Why don't you go ahead and say an opening prayer, and then I'll give the phone number out, and we'll start rolling.
All right. Father, we thank you today that we are here on this program able to reach out to people who are in need of your word, who need the Holy Spirit to teach them and to understand from your word exactly what they need to know today and over the next week or whenever they listen to this program, as mm-hmm. we know that it's for people. And Lord, we just ask that you would open up the eyes and ears of each person that listens and give them the knowledge, the exact word that each one of them needs to hear. We know, Lord, that as your word goes out, it does not return void, Lord. Person will hear what they need to hear. And whether or not they respond, Lord,
amen,
is in your own will. But, Lord, that's what we pray for today, that they would take the conviction of the Holy Spirit and that they would respond to it, Lord, that they would listen and heed the Holy Spirit and bend their knees to God and glorify him in response. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, just bringing us up to date. We have been on the last several programs. Raven, I'm going to have you read Romans 12:2 and Ephesians 4:23. And this is written to believers. There does no good to tell an unbeliever to be transformed by the renewing of his mind by the Holy Spirit. It makes no sense whatsoever. But before believers can accomplish anything for God that he is going to consider good works, his good works, not man's good works, his good works, we must allow Romans 12:2 and Ephesians 4:23 to happen.
Amen. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And
Ephesians 4:23.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
You can't say it any better. It's written to believers. Even an atheist would agree that in the context we're using, this would make no sense to read to an unbeliever. Okay. And the whole purpose, folks, the whole purpose of our seeking to deny ourselves and to allow God to transform us by the renewing of our mind, the whole purpose is, read Ephesians 4:1-4.
All right.
This is why we got to trust God. We got to trust my rudeness there. We got to trust God's God's wisdom, his works, his mind, not man's mind. Man's mind is created in the churches a horrible division. Go ahead and read Ephesians 4, 1 through 4. Thank you.
I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. And I want to continue and go on and read verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. It just didn't seem right to stop. Sorry.
That's fine. No problem. There's one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. You see why we have got to go back to the fundamental again. I'm very repetitive, but we got to ask him to transform us by the renewing of our mind. We talk about here this unity of the Spirit. Let's just take that topic and let's explore this. If you look at the churches today, just read Facebook with people who profess to be Christians and see the vitriolic comments that are made back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Look at people who've left churches who have horrible animosity and publicly criticize other people in the churches, not only accusing them of moral issues, but even legal issues. And let me throw out the shocker. There's churches who the same thing happens from the leadership to those who have left. I'm not speaking of one church. I'm not speaking of one person. This book was written with all these problems and solutions way before Carl had his infinite wisdom, which is very, very finite. I am telling you, folks, that even as believers, we can't do what Raven read. And I want you, Raven, to read Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 again, but read it slowly. And every one of us here, folks, as a believer, ask yourself truly, is this the way you react normally? No, it is not. That's why verse chapter 4 is saying after chapter telling us that we've got to work in his power. We've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. If we're not, folks, as believers, we're going to go into a ministry of hatred, of division, of contentiousness, just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:10. Read Ephesians 4, 1 through 4, and read it 1 through 6, but read it slowly and say, do you really feel this way? I'm sorry, the flesh does not. That's biblical.
You know, it's interesting that you brought that up because I was talking to someone on Facebook last night or this morning, I don't remember which, and it doesn't matter what the topic was. But
Raven, with mine and your horrible sleeping habits, it don't make a difference.
Yeah.
One day melds into the other.
Exactly. And the comment was made by this person, you know, something to the effect of, you know, it doesn't really matter because I know that this is what my pastor says. You know, this is what my pastor says, and this is what I've been taught. This is what I've been taught all these years, you know, therefore
Amen.
It must be true type of thing. And
you're picking, Raven, you're picking exactly where I'm going. We are taught contentions and animosity in the church, making sly remarks about the non-Pentecostals, making sly remarks about the Pentecostals. This shouldn't be in churches. Go ahead.
Right. And you know, and I just again said to this person, I said, listen, I said, I understand that, you know, that this is, you know, what you've been taught, that this is what, you know, your pastor says to you. I said, this isn't about a pastor, and it's not about a church. You know, Christ himself said that, you know, we're not to follow traditions of men. I said, get out your Bible and read your Bible. I've given you several verses. Just read scripture. Don't listen to me. Get your own Bible out. Read your Bible. Just read your Bible. But they don't want to hear it, you know. They don't want to hear it. And
Raven, I
got
to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question before you read Ephesians.
Yeah.
I got another call on the line here. Another call, and I'm going to take it. And I'm going to hope that this call is a decent call, unlike the last time we had one. Folks, if this is anybody coming in with any inappropriate language, which I don't have to, and I'm not referring to the call. I haven't even answered it yet. But the last call we took was almost embarrassing. I've got a call now where the earphones are lit up and there's a question mark. That means someone wants to call in, come in.
Wonderful.
Okay, let me take the call. Bear with me here.
All right.
Hello there. This is Carl. You're on our Freedomizer radio program. I will go ahead and let you speak.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, I have a question. What do you think about these churches that, I'm looking for your answer, and I'll probably have a follow-up if I could stay on for a little bit longer than just one question. The churches that deviate from biblical teaching and teach almost social justice, what do you think about that? How do you combat that?
Well, let me not give you any of my opinion. There's two questions. What do I think about it, and then how do I combat it? The easy one is how do I combat it, because I'm almost 80, and I've taken every device known to any denomination that I can think of that I've been in church, and I have failed miserably. Not saying I'm successful now, but the way I've got to combat it is just do, sir, what we are saying in the beginning of the program, Romans 12:2. As a believer, I can't depend on man's wisdom. I have got to go to prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to change me so that I can combat it, because I might combat it in the wrong way. But now, what do I think about it? In fact, do you have a Bible open, sir?
No, I
can
don't.
You get
not,
one?
Not at the moment.
Okay, Raven. No, let Raven.
I'll get one on my phone.
Hold on, nope. Huh?
I'll
Pardon me?
Open one up on my phone.
Okay, then go to, here's what I think about it, and I'm only going to give you what I see in the Bible. Go to 1 Timothy Chapter 4. This is a super question. Read verse 1. One and two. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. This is what I think about it.
Okay.
Go right ahead, sir.
Verse 1. I'm sorry.
And 2.
Okay.
Don't wash your hair, folks. We got an hour and a half. If you've got a question and it takes me an hour and a half to give you satisfactory biblical answers, I don't care. My main purpose right now is you, so go ahead.
Okay. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the command of God our Savior and our Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy. Is this one you wanted, 1 Timothy? Oh, you said 1?
1 and 2.
Oh, all right. I've got Timothy verse 4 open.
Don't worry about it. No problem.
The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow the deceiving spirits and things taught by demons.
You see what I think about it? I'm not even going to answer you. I'm going to give you what the Bible says.
Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences, my glasses on, have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe. Okay, so abstain from certain foods, is that kind of a knock on Judaism and Islam?
It's a knock on, no, because let me tell you, I was raised in a denomination that was very serious about the ministry marrying, about eating certain meat literally on what days, et cetera. What it is, I am saying it's a knock on religion in general, which is totally different and the antithesis of biblical Christianity,
Okay. Now, okay, I got that.
I'm telling you, for 43, okay, and you're reasonable. I enjoy your call, whoever you are, because unfortunately we have been very unfortunate to call up people called that really didn't care for our opinion. They're trying to do the wrong thing. But you see the issue. Biblical Christianity and religion, folks, are in opposition to each other. So I
so
say
we
this
have
is
to
a knock
our,
on...
We,
what's
we
that?
We have to elevate ourselves. We have to elevate ourselves.
Yes. Amen.
Okay.
And we have to
gay
allow
marriage
him to do
was
it,
an
though.
Issue. Right. Because gay marriage is always an issue, too, with a lot of churches moving towards that... So that's why. So yeah, good. I'm learning a lot right now.
Well, we are too, sir. Your questions enable me to think. And in religion, I was not taught to think. I was taught to be a thoughtless parrot and just repeat what someone else said. Now, here's the issue. You've got to understand in 4:1-2 that you just read. This is not talking. In a religion that we look at as an opposition to Christianity. This is being taught in so-called Christian churches.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. And the only other thing I was wondering is, can you and that woman you were speaking with lick your... Can you lick your own asshole? I was wondering, can you do that?
No, sir.
Can you lick your own asshole?
You sucked me in again. Hold on.
You ever shit in anyone's?
Hold on, Raven. Hold on. Calm down. We're not here for that. I'm here to do one thing, and that is to help people. We're going to have this, Raven. It's going to happen. I'm just, I had a feeling I recognized the number. It's the same words that were used to me the last time. But that is not our problem, Raven. Our problem, we are not that good that we're able to combat that problem. Let's continue to go back to Ephesians 4 and read 1 and 4 and ask yourself, honestly, can we even as believers keep ourselves from this? No, we can't. We can't perform these things in 4:1-6 if we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us by the renewing of our mind.
It's a shame. It's a shame when people have nothing better to do.
They're back on the line, but you can stay on the line for eternity. You're going to have to do as has been done before, get somebody else's phone, because I've now written the number down. I thought I recognized it, but I wasn't going to misjudge someone.
Well,
so you want to hold on the line,
I thought I recognized the voice when he was on.
Okay,
so.
Raven, but I can't judge people by my 80-year-old hearing.
Oh, absolutely, and that's just it. I couldn't be 100%, And you know, as long as somebody's asking a question, you can't, you know.
No,
but,
I got it, folks.
You know, if someone has nothing better to do with their time than to downgrade price, you know,
they're going to answer, Raven. They're going to answer to someone, and ain't me, but they're going to answer to the same one. Now, let me make a comment before you read. Again, folks, our number to call in and listen, or if you're listening to get on and ask a question, is 319-527-6208. And that is toll-free from, as far as I'm aware of, anywhere in continental United States. I know it's continental United States, from a landline or a cell phone or any area code. But when you call in, I'm going to ask you please to keep the questions to the content of what we're talking about so we don't get off track. Unfortunately, the gentleman started off very well, and he asked a very good question. And it's just, folks, here, if we're in this arena, I've got two granddaughters that live up in middle of New Hampshire, and they're both in college on a downhill skiing racing scholarship. Mm-hmm. I don't want to ever hear them say to anybody that it's cold outside. When you're a downhill racer and skiing, it's cold. If you're a professional baseball player in Miami, Florida, or Tampa Bay with one of the two Florida teams, or even Atlanta or Washington or even Detroit and Cleveland in the summer, it's going to be hot. So, Raven, we're in this arena by our own will. We're going to face hot weather. We're going to face cold weather. But here, that is not my concern. I'm not even worried about it. Let's continue getting the people who called, who listened to us, which last week was almost 50, and let's give them what they've tuned into here.
You're right. This kind of thing is to be expected.
I'm not going to worry about this. Again, I don't want my granddaughters telling me, well, it's 3 below 0 up at Sunday River in Maine when they were competing against another college. You're not competing swimming. You're competing downhill skiing, which is done in cold weather. Go ahead.
Right. And as we said, it's a spiritual battle, not flesh and blood. All right.
Why should we fight, Raven? Go ahead.
Yeah. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
This is for believers.
What's that?
Well, this is for believers.
Yes, exactly. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. Yeah.
See, those are things, folks, the Holy Spirit is telling the church at Ephesus that even as believers, they must submit to the Holy Spirit changing their mind, transforming them by the renewing of their mind in 4:23.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and will prove that this is written, as every other epistle is, to the church, to believers. It's not written.
Amen.
Is it helpful to unbelievers? Yes, it is. Second Timothy 3:15-16 say that it will convert a person, the word of God will. It will also make you righteous. It will correct you, rebuke you, train you in righteousness. But the epistles are written to the church. Read 1:1 of Ephesians and see, this is to the church, to believers.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus.
How can anybody deny that the letter, hold on, how can anybody deny that this is written to believers? And yet there's a very big name ministry on radio and TV, and it's on every day. The man says the epistles are not written to believers. Go ahead, read two.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
And that wouldn't make any sense. Peace from God our Father, that's one of the tortures that leads us to Christianity. Truthfully, biblical Christianity, there is no peace in religion.
Amen.
Now read verse 3 and tell me this is not written to believers.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.
Okay, we got lucky on this one. Go to Colossians and read 3:3. And tell me this is not meant to believers. See, for this being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you got to realize it's meant to truly born-again people.
Yeah. Amen. Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, who are in Colossae.
And we could go through every epistle. That's not necessary. We're just giving you a little. Okay. So again, what's the whole point of repeating this a dozen times from Thursday? I want you to understand that this is referring to Raven, Carl, and every true born-again person. Before you can do God's work, he's still got to take the born-again believer, who now has been forgiven, is now a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we've got to pray that James chapter 1, verse 5, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, he will give it to you. We've got to have God transform us by the renewing of our mind, or we are going to continue in man's works. And the churches, folks, are pandemic. And they have been since I started going to a Bible church 1986, they're pandemic with man's works, all kinds of workbooks, things written by people on staff, things written by other people. No, individually, do what Raven prayed in the beginning. Seek God's will and his face and his work that he has for you.
Amen.
He has given each one of us. Raven, read 2 Timothy 1:9.
All right.
Well, when did he give us these works? He didn't give us these works 5 minutes ago.
Saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our work, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began.
Okay. Read Titus 2:14. You can't get away from it. Believers must be transformed by the renewing of their mind by the Holy Spirit in order to know what God's good works are, not man's.
Well, hold on here. I always have trouble with Titus. It's so tiny.
Don't worry about it. I think it's about it's right before Hebrews. It's the second book before Hebrews, I think.
Yeah. It's right. There it is. I got it. Titus what?
2:14. God's works, not man's works. And he's talking to a believer. Go ahead.
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good work.
You see where it is? Even to believers, they must seek God's good works. Because, folks, there's not a church that I've not been to. The first time I walked into a Bible supposedly a Bible preaching church as opposed to religion at 43
right.
years old in 1986. I was given a task to do, not by the pastor, not at all, but by other people, that I'm going to start showing good works now I'm finally coming to their church. No, I've got to do what James 1:5 says. I have to do that in order to know what God's good works that she just read in 2 Timothy 1:9 and Titus 2:14. Why don't you read James 1? Start wherever you want, but at least read 5.
All right. Oh,
we've
got to
pray,
Lord,
for God's wisdom, not man.
Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm going to start in 2, but only because it popped out at me.
You hear, Raven, I know you're going to start some. Here, I told you. Just do me a favor and read 5, but go wherever you want.
I will. But I'm reading 2 because it popped out at me, and I'm going to tell you why. Let me tell you something. This guy that called, I allowed him to get to me. You know, I repent of that because that is not.
Raven, I can't, hold on. I can't fault you for allowing it to get to you. To use that
right.
kind of vulgarity when we're asking Bible questions, that doesn't even make common sense. I actually feel sorry for the individual, and I mean that sincerely.
I understand that, and that should be though, my reaction. That should be my reaction, not to get angry with them.
Anger is not right. You're right.
Yeah,
to be frustrated,
but that was my first reaction, and it was
okay.
just wrong.
Yep.
You know?
Okay.
I
understand.
And and as I opened up here to James, you know, I looked here in verse 2 and just went, that should be my, yes, Lord, that should be my reaction. This is, you know, it's just a reminder to me.
No,
how
yeah, I get where you're going now.
Fall into various trials, you know, that the knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Yes, Lord, I understand. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And this is what we go through, you know, and I'll get to verse 5. But this is what happens, you know, and if that guy is listening right now, you know what my response is? Thank you. Thank you so much, because what you did was you gave me a reminder today that I am not supposed to let that kind of thing make me angry, but instead I am just to feel sorry for you. I'm to feel sorry for people like this, that they don't know Christ.
That is true.
So we need
to pray for these people. We need to pray for them, because anybody who would get on a supposedly a legitimate program talking about Jesus Christ and use that phraseology, could Jesus Christ even do blank, 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 blank? I do feel sorry for the individual, and I'm not saying that to be altruistic.
Oh, no, you're absolutely correct. And I'm not being sarcastic. I'm not being...
No, I know you're not.
I mean it very sincerely.
But Raven...
I mean it very sincerely.
You
know, my reaction was just wrong. It was a hair trigger reaction that I should not have had. I should have immediately felt...
That's where, hold on, Raven, that's where you and I need to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us by the renewing of our mind.
Absolutely.
It doesn't say,
you know, you know, we all have these things that happen, you know, as we go throughout our days. But this is what's important is that, you know, is that we do realize that, hey, I shouldn't have had that reaction, and then we repent of it, you know?
But
and
that
this
is
what we're
right
trying
here. Raven,
yeah.
You read 12:2 of Romans and Ephesians 4:23. Read Ephesians 4:23.
Yeah.
You're just admitting that you need Ephesians 4:23. We couldn't have had a better preamble to this study.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Yeah.
And you were in the time since we've been on that call.
Yeah. I mean, we need this daily. We need it more and more every day. I mean, you know, and this is what, you know, I'm trying to say is, you know, it's not as though we've already, that we've made it, that we're, you know, trying to say, oh, look how wonderful we are that we've, you know, somehow become, you know, such perfect people, you know, because that's impossible, you know. As Paul says, it's not as if we've attained, but we're running that race, you know. And as, you know, it says here in James, that the testing of your faith produces patience. It's this ongoing thing that, you know, we go through it daily. We take up our cross and follow him, and the next day we take up our cross and follow him, but it's not as though we had attained. We continue this every single day, because until we go to be with him, we're going to be in this fleshly body constantly, and we will never, you know, we're not going to be perfect, you know, until we go to be with Christ. You know, it's, I think it's Philippians. Hold on. I want to find this.
Raven?
Yeah.
Raven? I just got dumped. I had to call back in.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I've been off for probably 90 seconds.
Oh, well, here I am just jabbering away.
But, go ahead. That's all right. Keep going. I've never known you to do anything else. So.
It's not as though, you know, I was just saying, it's not as though we're, you know, we achieve some sort of perfection while we're here, but it's that we're striving for maturity in Christ, you know, and that's exactly, you know, what James 1, 2 and 3, you know, 2 through 4 says, and then we, you know, so, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. And what that word really means is it means mature. That's perfect. It means mature in Christ, lacking nothing. And then, of course, 5 that you're talking about, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And,
there you go.
You know, yeah, as long as we continue to ask of him, then he will guide us in the way that we're supposed to go. When we walk in the Spirit, then, and we listen to the Holy Spirit's conviction, you know, then he brings us back to exactly, to repentance. He brings us back to where we need to be.
Raven, I've got a comment just for you, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Do you know when we schedule a program, we put tags?
Yes.
Okay, 2 of mine are misspelled, so just for your edification.
Oh.
How? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not even going to bet. It's not on this program for me to discuss it, just so if you get a phone call, you'll know it. All right.
I already addressed that, remember? Oh.
Well, Raven, I remember, but thanks, Gail. I remember us asking people not to call with what we heard today, but it still happens. All right.
Right.
We have got to pray. We have got to pray, folks, even as believers, for God to change us, because when you pray for him to change us, you're doing the most difficult thing that biblical Christianity wants you to do. And I'd like you to go to Luke 9:23. Just read the first phrase. And it tells you if you want to follow Christ, this is the first thing you got to do. First thing. First thing we got to do as a follower of Christ. These are written to believers.
Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself.
That is the tough part, folks, and we can't do that on our own. That's why we've got to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, Raven is going to read. I don't think you've ever read. Have you read 1 through 6 in Ephesians 4 a second time?
Well, no, we didn't. Uh-uh.
Okay, read it again. Unless you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, you can't do what chapter 4 of Ephesians 1 through 6 is saying. You can't do it. Trust me.
Yeah. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
So he's in us, believers. We still got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, because I can't live out 1 through 6. I can't even live out half a verse in my own self. That's why Jesus says in Luke 9:23, first thing Carl does, deny himself. Don't give money. Don't buy commentaries and books. First thing, deny your own ability as a believer.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's proceed. We're going to go to Ephesians 3, and we're going to continue where we were last week. We read Ephesians 3. We read verses 14 through 17. We're now going to read 18 through 21, and 18 through 21 are going to further be things that we can't do as believers unless the Holy Spirit miraculously changes us so we have his mind, the mind of Christ. So let's take one verse at a time. Take verse, why don't you read 14 through 17, and then we'll pick up on 18.
All right.
This is written to believers, folks, through strength through the Spirit, not through Carl, through the Spirit.
All right. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love.
That's good. Now, folks, that's verse 17. Unless you're willing to recognize 16, which is he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Unless you're willing to deny your ability and allow the Holy Spirit to change you as a believer, so your mind is now focused on the good works that God has for you and not man. And trust me, you can't be in a church more than 2 weeks where somebody doesn't approach you with something. I'm not talking about a church of 5,000 people. I'm talking about the average type that I've gone to, anywhere from maybe 30 to even 250. somebody's going to nail you within the first three. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but you pray to God. You let him strengthen you, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's what Raven was reading, James 1:5. And what is the reason I'm stressing Ephesians 3:16? Because 17 can't happen if 16 doesn't happen. That Christ dwell in our heart by faith. That we, being rooted and grounded in love. I can't be rooted and grounded in love in the love of Jesus Christ. I can't do it, folks, if I'm not depending on the Holy Spirit to strengthen me. Now, verse 18, Raven, read that. This is going to tell us, 18 and 19 are going to tell us another promise if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, not Carl.
All right. I'm going to start in the middle of 17, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, his knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Okay. This is number one. Verse 18 is a contradiction, and 19 of each other. And verse 18 is also four dimensions. The breadth. Okay, length, depth, and height. That's the dimensions we're used to on Earth. That's three dimensions. We've got another dimension, the breadth. That's a dimension in the spiritual realm. And what is the breadth? That we would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. In other words, that fourth dimension, breath, that is the love of Christ that is not even able to be explained in human words. And yet how many sermons have we heard about, we've got to have love, we got to have this, we got to have that. How many times have you been told and shown that you've got to get active in the church on crusades, going to various places at 5 a.m. on Saturday morning, carrying packages for people, changing cars for the little, changing oil in a car for the little old lady of Pasadena. I'm not saying you don't do those things, but don't think that is God's work in you unless you prayed to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I fall for that, folks. I'm not bad English. I have fallen for that stuff for years and total frustration. So you, before you start any good work, pray the prayer Raven read to you in James 1:1-5. Seek him. Seek him. I can't say it enough.
No.
Now, do you see where verse 18 is four dimensions, the breath? That is the spiritual realm, because when I take the love of Christ, which is in the spiritual realm, it's understood, it passes knowledge. That means in the human realm, I can't understand it. Does this make sense?
Right.
We
yeah.
can understand it. All right, Raven, go to 1 Corinthians 3:12. This is why we can, 13:12, excuse me. This is why, folks, we must ask the Holy Spirit to give us his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding, because in the human realm, we've got limits. And this verse of 1 Corinthians 13:12 is going to show you the limits we have.
For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known.
But what we're talking about here, folks, in this verse as we're reading, is we want to be able to transcend from the human ability into the spirit world and understand the breadth of the love of Christ, as it says here. And we can't do that unless he transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Now read Romans 8:29. This is the same thing that Romans 8:29 is saying. It's the sanctification process. The sanctification process does not mean only that Carl sins less. That is the result of being sanctified. But the sanctification process is changing our minds, our thoughts, our disciplines, our holiness, our righteousness, our religiousness, and denying ourselves and letting God's qualities flow through us. But read Romans 8:29. This is exactly what's happening to a person who is praying the prayer Raven talked about in James, for God to transform by the renewing of their minds.
For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Is that making sense?
Amen.
That's what's happening. Okay. Now let's go to verse 20. Just read 20 for a moment.
In Ephesians?
Yes, ma'am. 3:20. These are all things that will happen if we allow ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us.
Okay, right here. Why should you come to Carl or anybody else to transform your mind and tell you what you're to do, what your spiritual gift is? You ask God. Why would God not answer your prayer? He will. For
yeah.
We're trained to go to people, buy my workbook, buy my. I'm not going to go any further because I have a feeling there's people who listen to me and they're personalized and I'm criticizing them, their ministries, their church. I don't know. I don't know how wacko this stuff gets, but anyhow, this is above anything that we, exceedingly above anything that we can ask or think. Why would you depend on anybody else's wisdom but God?
Amen.
And then it says, how? How do we do? What is he going to give us to do this work? His power that works in us. Read Ephesians 3:7.
Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power.
Okay, read Romans 16:25. Raven, for some reason you're very low in volume. I don't.
Really?
Yeah, normally I can hear you. In fact, normally I turn it down a bit, but today it's just the other way. I don't know why.
All right, I'll try to bring it closer. Here we go. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began.
This is his power that works in us. Read Ephesians 1:19. His power. Carl's wisdom.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?
Okay, that was Ephesians 1:19.
Yeah.
All right, 1 Corinthians 7 and 8.
Corinthians 7, 8.
First Corinthians 1, 7 and 8. Pardon me.
Okay. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You see,
can you hear me better now?
Everything? Huh? Yeah, you've done.
Can you
something
hear me better? Okay.
Better. Yes. But you see, folks, where we've got to depend continuously and constantly seek his wisdom.
Amen.
Because I'm going to have her read another verse here that is constantly at work in those of us who are seeking the Holy Spirit transforming our mind. This is constantly and never stops. Go to Galatians 5 and read 17.
All right.
This is proof and never stops. Then we're going to read the battle we're up against. This is why you can never stop depending on asking God to change you, because the enemy is trying to change you 7/24/365.
For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish.
And this starts, folks, the minute you're truly born again. Before you're born again, who's got total control over your temple, the inner self, the inner being? The enemy, Satan. You're born in sin. You're born in the sin of unbelief. The moment you repent and believe the gospel, the true gospel, that moment, this battle sets up. The Holy Spirit now cleanses you. Jesus Christ's blood has cleansed you, restored a relationship with God that Adam and Eve lost. Immediately, the war of the spirit and the flesh in you is set up. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay? That is why we must continue in this to give Jesus Christ the power. We don't give him the power. We got to ask him to let his power work in us, not man's power. Because this battle is raging in us, and we can't fight it. Read Ephesians 6:12. It'll tell us what this power that's raging against the spirit is.
Yes. But we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Think of that. Do you see why you've got to be doing this? It's not that you got to pray 18 hours a day. Pray 24. That's not the issue. In your mind, are you making a way of life of seeking God's wisdom on every day, increasing on all the aspects of your life? When you have a problem, when you are confused, when you get angry, anything that happens, are you asking for his power to handle the way you know you should be handled, and you and I can't do it? Because these powers of darkness, the forces of evil, in the heavenly kingdoms, folks, they are working on us 24/7, 365.
Yeah.
Never
we have
stop.
To give it to him.
Amen.
We must
it's
give
hard,
it to him.
Raven. That's where your example,
we have to give it to
reaction,
him because we can't do it.
That's where your reaction to that phone call was perfect. That was a good example of God using a bad thing for a good reason. And that is, it showed. You even came up and said, hey, I didn't do it right. But you turned what? Not to Carl's commentary, which he's never written. You turned to the Holy Spirit, and he convicted you and changed you. Immediately, your mind changed. That's what we got to do with everything, folks. We can't rely
on the only way.
And unfortunately, that is pandemic in church. You got to get better. You've got to do this. You've got to go to this series. We're going to have 6 studies every Wednesday night or Sunday night. Then we're going to have 13 studies on another. Well, have 100 studies. Spend your whole life in studies. I love it. Nothing I'd rather do. But man's wisdom is not going to change me. If we're going to have a study, read the Word of God, not man's wisdom.
Yeah. I've tried it that way, Paul. It doesn't work.
Oh, I have too. This is why at 80 years old on a Sunday afternoon, I'm putting up with all the difficulties that you and I know I have trying to get on these programs and all, because somehow, miraculously, my program is canceled. It's never listed, and I know I schedule way ahead of time. This is why we put up with this, folks. We have failed in man's wisdom. As a churchgoer and someone who was in the church every time the door opened, sometimes when it wasn't open, doing man's will, man's wisdom.
Absolutely.
We have failed at it. We know where it leads, folks. We got no other reason to be on this program. No other reason.
Yeah.
We're trying
Absolutely.
To help anybody that could listen and would really listen to what we're saying. Go to God. Be renewed by the, in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. It's not you being renewed by man. You're being renewed by the Holy Spirit. Please. All right. Now, we're going to get into another topic, which is subject to horrendous misinformation. And we're going to get into a topic that is going to be talked about in Ephesians chapter 6. Start with verse 10. Read 6:10, Raven.
Okay. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
All right. I'm going to have you read one more. Verse 11. This is going to be our topic.
All right. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
And you just read them in Ephesians 6:12, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Put on the whole armor of God. How many sermons and Bible studies I've listened to on radio, especially radio, because I, for 50 years, I spent so many hours driving constantly. Okay, you got to put on the whole armor of God and then give all kinds of charades and imagining how you do it. And you've got to get up every morning. I'm not going to name the name of the ministry, but it's still on radio, and I'm not criticizing it. But they said the way you put on the armor of God is every morning you imagine yourself. You imagine yourself getting dressed. And as you get dressed, you imagine your shirt. Your shirt is now the breastplate of righteousness. Your belt is now in your pants, the thing that holds, you know, that secures your faith. Then if you wear a hat, put on a hat, or even if you don't, imagine it. And I'm telling you, it's embarrassing. And they're telling people, this is how you put on the armor of God. No. If you do what Raven said in Romans 12:2 and Ephesians 4:23, if you will ask God to transform you by the renewing of your mind, by the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us, that is putting on the armor. There's no charades, no stories, no human metaphors, no human analogies. Don't even get into that stuff that's complicated. Get into what the Bible says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Folks, if you're not being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and it's God's power, remember what we read? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, Ephesians 3:7. The power of God that works in us. The power in Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Folks, unless you're allowing that to happen, I don't care if you go out and buy old Roman armor, and every morning put the armor on. It is not man, God's armor, it's man's armor. And it fails, it fails, it fails. Look at the condition of the churches today. Even the gentleman who called in, he at least had recognized that we're in a colossal mess. I wish I could have time to talk to him privately and just say, folks, sir, I don't care what you call me or the vulgarities you throw at me. Can I just give you Bible verses to help you? Because, folks, he's no different than I've been. I just didn't have the nerve to do what he's doing publicly, but my mind was the same way.
That's right.
I can't do this stuff. Put on the whole armor of God. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2, Ephesians 4, 23. If you're asking God to transform you by changing your mind, him changing it, that is the armor. You don't need to go through charades or go to an Army Navy store and buy old armor.
Let me interrupt you for just a second there, Paul.
Sure, no,
because
I'll go ahead. I'm waiting.
This guy that called, this is the second time now that he's called, and I don't want to go into where we think that we've heard of him before, but we think we've spoke with this guy before.
Well,
this
I've not heard of him, Raven. I've talked to him in the past outside of this radio program.
Right, exactly.
Go ahead.
And right, and I just want to say, right, exactly. But what I want to say is that if you're listening to this radio program, we don't know his name, but I would like to ask everyone to pray for this man.
I do know his name, but go ahead.
Right, let's just all pray for this man because, you know what, he needs Christ. And if he is calling in, this means that he is listening to this program at least occasionally, and this means that he is hearing the gospel at least sometimes. So
now
I would like
right
to
now, Raven, now that's the Holy Spirit's reaction he wants us to take, not yours and Carl's natural flesh.
That's right. And so I would just like to say, you know, everyone who's listening, if you would just take some time and because God knows who
well,
he
let's
is.
Let's go, Raven. You do it.
Yes, I'm going to right now, but I'm just going to ask for everyone else to just take some time and just pray for him when you have a moment, maybe even while you're listening to this. Just, you know, hit pause or whatever and pray for him. And I'm going to pray for him right now. And Heavenly Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would convict this man of his need for Christ as his Savior. Lord, we ask that you would bring him back here again. Bring him back to listen to the gospel again. Lord, he knows inside of his need for you, Lord, because you put that in the heart of every single person that is created. And we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would convict him to come back and hear again, Lord, to come back and hear again and again, and that your Holy Spirit would touch him, would touch his heart, Lord, and reach out and soften his heart and open up his ears and his eyes to your gospel so that he might accept Christ as his Lord and Savior. In Christ's name, amen.
You couldn't have had a better idea. This is, folks, what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. He doesn't care, but he understands the problem. That's why he's given us the ability and the gifts to help people. No matter how people treat us or no matter how we react, we are still here for one thing. God doesn't need my evaluation of the problem. What he wants me to do is per 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, and Raven, go to them. This is the attitude we got to have, and we can't do this in our own human flesh. We have got to have our minds renewed by the His power, His wisdom, His strength in my inner man. Now, I'm ready to read 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. I can't do this in my own strength. In my own strength, no. I don't even want to do it. I don't want to do it in my own strength.
Oh, you couldn't be more right. 2 Timothy 2:24.
Raven, my guts have burned over these things. I'm tired of burning when I don't have to. Christ has already handled it. Christ is the one who can change a man. Carl can't. I wouldn't even want me to change him. So let's go ahead and read that. And this is what caused Raven. These verses are what's changed you. And I know it has, to where you no longer combat people in this respect.
Oh, you're absolutely. And a servant of the Lord, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will.
Just read that verse 26 one more time, and I'm going to give you another verse to put with it.
And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will.
Now read Ephesians 6:12 and see if these two don't go together.
All right.
They go together, folks.
Yeah. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Yeah.
Now, why do we have to, why do we need to know this? Why? You know, why is this necessary? Read verse 11. It shows you that there's only one armor you can put on, not man's armor.
Yeah. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. This is why we need to be in the word and be prayed up. We can't do it.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit,
in fact, Raven,
the Holy Spirit
you're
in
just,
us does it.
Hold on. The next verse I'm going to give them is John 15:5. Go ahead. We can't
All
do
right.
it. Read it. Let's back it up
All
with
right.
Scripture. Perfect
All
statement
right.
you're making.
I Perfect. Am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
And what is the nothing referring to? The previous phrase, bearing fruit, God's fruit, not man's fruit, not man's money, not man's religion, not man's discipline. Bearing fruit, that's that fruit in 2 Timothy 1:9, the works God gave you before the worlds were created.
Yeah.
But she just said, without me, you can do nothing. Well, then what are we even bothering for? Read Philippians 4:13. There is a solution.
All right. Hold on. Let me get there. Philippians, right after Ephesians. Philippians 4:13.
Yep.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
And that means bearing fruit. Back to John 15:5. Without him you can do nothing, bearing fruit. But with Christ and through his
What's that?
first teaching. If God gives you something to do and the ability to do it, don't you think he is going to supply this one word that you need to do it? Read 4:19.
Ephesians 4:19.
Philippians. You're in 13.
Oh, Philippians.
Yeah, we can do all things. We can bear fruit. Well, I've never been trained. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. If God gives you a gift and an ability to do something, don't you think that he will do 4:19?
And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Do you see where you've got, do you see where you got to be born again, folks, or all bets are off? Through Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God will supply all our needs in Christ, by Christ, through Christ. It means you can't take a shortcut to salvation. You can't just say the sinner's prayer and you're part of the Harper Valley PTA. It don't work that way.
And I say this every time. I say this every time we read that verse, Carl. My God shall supply all your needs, not all your wants, but all your needs.
That's where we've got to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, because I want my wants. I want my wants more than I want my needs. I do.
Yeah. Just because you want a brand new car doesn't mean you're going to get it.
You could, but it doesn't mean. Again,
right.
Trust God. He's the one who will give you whatever you need to do what? To bear fruit.
Right. Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Let's go back to what she read in Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's just what Job was fighting. Read John 5:15-18. This battle began where?
John 15:18. Yep. All right. John, if the world hates you.
Let's see where this battle began.
If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Yeah.
And let's go now. We're going to get historical, but proving the scripture is consistent. Read Isaiah 14:14. This is where the battle began and the hatred for Christ arose. It's only continuing what started in the heavenly kingdoms before our worlds were even, well, no, that's not true. The world was created, but mankind from Adam and Eve was, this pre-existed that by afar.
I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
Do you see where this touches in, Raven, to hating you because they hated me? Do you see where this fits in when we wrestle not against flesh and blood in Ephesians 6:12? We're not wrestling against the person. We're wrestling against the demon spirits, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're wrestling against. Do you see why you must have God's armor, not Carl's stupid armor?
Yes, absolutely.
Would you like to, and only if you think it might add clarity, would you like to go to 1 Samuel 17, and you know where I'm going with this, Raven, and that is in 1 Samuel 17 to read about what David did when Saul gave him armor to fight Goliath?
Oh, yeah.
Remember, let's go to that. Let's go to 1 Samuel, and it's 17.
Yep.
And I'm going to give
there.
You the verses here. Now, this is a perfect example in the Old Testament, perfect, of a spiritual battle being fought, but man religious man wants you to wear man's armor rather than God's.
Right. Let me get Samuel here.
No problem.
Little book. There it is.
First Samuel
17.
Yes, the title of the chapter is David and Goliath.
Got it.
Start with 33.
All right. Back a page here.
Now we're going to hear Saul. Saul, a religious person, consulted mediums, did everything that people told him to do. What does Saul tell David about fighting this war?
And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going. You're good.
Okay, but David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, put a bronze helmet on.
Hold on. This is Saul's armor, man's armor. And you're going to see how silly this gets. Go ahead.
And he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them."
You see, this is man's armor. David is saying, "I can't fight this battle with man's armor." Do you see that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So David took them off.
Okay.
But he took his staff in his hand.
Keep going.
All right. So he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine.
Without man's armor.
Amen. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied."
Do you see the difference between man's armor and God's armor?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
"This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know.
Hold on. We know what happens. Yep. David decapitates the guy. But you see, when he put on Saul's armor, man's armor, this is what happens when I, Carl, decides he's going to bear fruit without being transformed by the renewing of my mind. You see where this is, honestly.
Yeah.
Is this making sense, folks? If it's not, please call me on that phone number. Call me on that number. If not this week, next week. Because next week we're going to get into a thing we've been saying since we're 4 or 5 years old, the Lord's Prayer, which is saying the very same thing that we don't even realize we said for all these years, the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
That's exactly what it's saying. Take man's armor off and put God's armor on. Put God's armor on.
Exactly.
Well, next week we're going to get into that. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and read 10 through 16. Somebody tell me that they can do this without God's power working in them. You're a better person than I am. I can't do it. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 16. We can't, as believers, we can't do this. And remember, the book of Corinthians was written in verse 2 of chapter 1 to the church of God in Corinth. These are believers, but he still tells them what you got to do in 10 through 16, which I'm not capable of doing.
Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Okay, stop right there. We be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Read Ephesians 4.
There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Okay, you know what, Raven? We're going to pick up next week. We'll start with this verse, 1 Corinthians. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 16. But,
all right.
And then we're going to go into the Lord's Prayer. Right now we got a minute, so would you thank God for giving you the wisdom to handle things the way you did today? You handle them well.
And you know, you're right, it's all Him.
But
Heavenly Father,
but
we thank you.
You're a perfect example of doing what we're talking about.
Father, we thank you for your wisdom, for your goodness, for your Holy Spirit, who convicts us and shows us when we turn away from you, when we follow the wrong path, Lord, because without your Holy Spirit, we would always be astray. We would always be going down the wrong path. Mm-hmm. Lord, it is only because of Christ and his death on the cross and bringing the Holy Spirit as our counselor, as our teacher, that we are able to live for you. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Holy Spirit who indwells us and does convict and reprove us daily. We love you and we give you all the glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Raven, you did a good job today. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Carl, for allowing me to
No, you did.
To be
you,
with
you
on the program.
very, very timely example of what we're advocating here, and you couldn't do that except with the Holy Spirit. Folks, we're over our time. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now.